We are assembled here today to pay final respects to our honored bankrupt. And yet it should be noted that in the midst of our sorrow, this financial action takes place in the shadow of new innovation, the sunrise of a new world, a world that our beloved comrade gave his fiscal solvency to protect, to nourish. He did not feel this sacrifice a vain or empty one, and we will not debate his profound wisdom at these proceedings. Of Beacon Power Corporation, I can only say this. Of all the green businesses I have had the privilege of investigating in my travels, this was the most economically viable. Beacon isn't dead. Not yet. Unlike Solyndra, the solar power manufacturer which shut its factory doors not long ago, Beacon is still ticking. It just filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy after its stocks were trading at 45 cents at Nasdaq's closing on October 28th, down 1 cent from the day before. It's also posting a debt of $47 million, despite receiving $43 million in backing from the U.S. Department of Energy, the same organization that failed to resuscitate Solyndra. Beacon's value plunged by 80% in the past year, to its current paltry $12.8 million. So what is so cool about Beacon, and what is it continuing to do? Well, for that, we're going to need to plunge into the past, to the 90s. In 1997, Beacon Power Corporation was born to proud parent Satcon Technology Corp's Energy Systems Division in Tyngsborough, Mass. And from an early age, it had a destiny. The world at this time relied upon an electricity grid that required that energy producers exactly match their power production to every tiny change in demand, from factories powering up for the day to the average light switch flick. With several million Americans toasting their breakfast at the same time, somewhere a power plant has to incrementally change its output. These changes in electricity use happened so fast, and it took so long for a coal plant or a nuclear power reactor to ramp up production to meet the demand, that plant had to produce exactly enough power to make sure that they always had enough to go around in the event of a random spike in demand. Too much electricity entering the grid could overload and cook the system, but too little, and there were rolling blackouts. Beacon would become an energy storage company, buying off the extra power generated by a power plant when they produced too much electricity, and selling it back to them at a premium when the power plant wasn't generating enough. This was great for big power plants, but it's also super important to renewable energy providers like wind turbines. They have the same problem as coal and nuclear. They can't produce electricity exactly when it's needed. Wind turbines make electricity when there's wind, whether it's enough power or not, and whether there is demand or not. Having someone to store the extra and release it during lean times was a breakthrough in electricity distribution technology. Now again, Beacon isn't making electricity. Power plants and renewable energy still push all of the electrons, but Beacon could make sure it went on the grid at the right time. Think of it like an electrical discount surplus store. So how do you store several megawatts of electricity? Batteries do this just fine for storing enough power to keep a cell phone running for a week, but how about powering a small town for a few seconds at a time? You need a huge and expensive battery to store that much juice, and besides, you won't be able to get all of the power out of the battery that you put into it because of transformation losses. Now, Beacon had a different plan, and they invested more than $200 million into a variety of breakthrough technologies. Here's the idea. Take a 2,500-pound carbon fiber cylinder about the size of a big barrel. Mount it on an electromagnetic spindle so that the barrel hovers in a steel tube suspended in a vacuum by the magnets. Now, take a coil of wires and wrap the outside of the casing, and then send a few volts through it. The electrical field generated by the flowing electricity around the magnets make the spindle spin, and the barrel starts to rotate. Really, really fast, like 16,000 times a minute fast. So fast that the edge of the barrel is actually going twice the speed of sound. Of course, since it's in a vacuum, they're eerily quiet. Now, whenever a power plant needs some extra juice, computers throw a switch. The barrels and the magnets on board are spinning on their own momentum and start to induce a current in the wires around the casing. the barrels start to slow down as their kinetic energy is turned into electrical potential, and the electricity is fed back onto the grid to sell to the energy transmission company. This system can turn on and off in an instant, and can perfectly match its output to exactly what the grid needs. It was a beautiful system, and they ended up installing 20 megawatts of storage capacity in Steventown, New York, enough to store the electricity generated by 10 giant wind turbines operating at full tilt for an hour. So if it was such a success, why'd they go bust? Well, the bankruptcy hearings haven't yet been done, and we're still not really sure exactly what happened. But there are some things we do know. One, he spent a long time doing research and development. It's hard to be on the cutting edge, but fortunately it's been the mandate of the Department of Energy to invest in weirder projects, like Beacon. There's plenty of private investment money for mainstream, proven technologies, but sometimes it's the risky investments that have the biggest payoffs. Those risky investments are too risky for venture capitalists, so the government invests in them with the expectation that some will fail and others will become the next really big thing. In the case of Beacon, they are the next big thing already. They've integrated themselves into the grid in New York, and their big Steventown facility is doing really well. It may be the case that Beacon just needs some time to restructure and figure out a better business model before it tries again. Remember, after the bailout, the bankrupt auto manufacturers became thriving businesses once again. It's not all over, and it's certainly not a disaster like someone would like you to think. For the money that the Department of Energy, NYSERDA, and other state agencies have put into it, we've gotten some pretty promising results. The technology is here, and if Beacon does go under, it's likely that another company will come in and take its place, making even more jobs and helping the integration of renewable energy into the grid. Get well soon, Beacon. May you operate long and prosper. You've been listening to the first episode of Eco Andrew Middleton's radio podgram, Spurious Emissions, for the Rational Conservationist blog. If you like what you hear, check out the blog at www.ecoandrew.blogspot.com or follow me on Twitter at EcoAndrewTRC. Thanks for listening, and be sure to leave a comment or two. I look forward to them. Thanks. All right. I think that went pretty well. Not bad for a first run.